You are listening to Colchonero Chat, the premier English language podcast on Atletico Madrid and a part of Into the Calderon, the SB Nation home for all things Atletico. I'm Jeremy Barron, my guest on this edition of Colchonero Chat, Barca Blaugrana's manager, Luis Mazariegos. Luis Mazariegos is the guest on this edition of Colchonero Chat. Luis is here to talk all things Copa del Rey semifinal first leg, which was a 2-1 win to Barcelona away at the Vicente Calderon on Wednesday. The advantage is comfortable, but just how comfortable heading into next Tuesday's second leg? Plus, La Liga chatter, Champions League chatter, and more. Chatter. Stick with us.
Good. I'm sorry I missed your call. It didn't notify me until I looked at it again, and then it was like, call missed.
No worries. Yeah, sometimes that happens. No worries. All right. So let's just dive right into it. This will be about half an hour long. I'm going to record the little intro bit later. Just add it on to our combo, so it should be good.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah. Just really conversational. I'll ask you some questions. You'll ask me some questions. It'll be good.
Sounds good.
Awesome. So, pretty interesting one on Wednesday. Pretty interesting game. Really a tale of two halves for Atletico, and I think certainly for Barcelona too. How thrilled are you with the result? I'm sure it's on a scale of 1 to 10, about a 9 or a 10 for you.
Yeah, I don't know about a 10. I think a 10 would have been 2-0, which is where it was at first. I mean, it was kind of a worrying, I don't know if meltdown is too much, but Atletico really had the best chances for the last, 30 minutes? I can't even count them. How close they were. I mean, besides the fact that they scored, there were also, I don't know if you know the number, but it must have been like 10 or so times where it was almost a draw.
Yeah, there were like 5 or 6 really, really great chances.
Yeah, but having said that, you know, of course it's because you start in a really good position and then you go back to a not quite as good position. You feel like, you know, you didn't get as much as you really wanted. But if you tell someone before the game starts, this is going to end 2-1 away, I mean, you'd be thrilled with that. So it's kind of like the direction wasn't good. But if you look at the result just as a result, it's an amazing result.
Yeah, it's two away goals to take back to Camp Nou. I think that's great for you guys. Not great for Atletico, who need to win 2-0 now or better to advance to the final.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be very difficult to win with a clean sheet against Barcelona at home. I mean, as obviously as possible, but I think it's very difficult. And so you're looking at 3-1 or like something like 4-2 seems very, very, very hard. I guess 3-2 would also do it, but it's still putting 3 goals in, that seems like a lot.
Yes, it does, especially for a team that has had so many problems scoring as Atletico have lately. With a lot of misfiring forwards. And you kind of saw this in the second half yesterday, how so many great chances, just Atleti could not finish them off. They got the first goal, could not get that second one. And that's just kind of how the ball bounced for them yesterday. It tends to bounce that way when Atletico play Barcelona. It just tends to happen, except in the Champions League. It just tends to happen like that.
Yeah, I mean, this year, I don't know exactly what it is. I haven't watched all the games that Atletico Madrid have played, but they just seem a lot less, I don't know, they seem a lot less intense when they get a one-goal lead. Seemed to be like last season, they would go 1-0 up, and you were like, okay, that's pretty much it. But now a lot of teams are being able to come back or even score the first one, as it happened in this last game. So, It's kind of a completely different team, it feels like.
Yeah, that's right. And despite pretty much the same personnel, it's a very different mentality at times, a different mindset. The intensity is not there. The latest example of this is against Eibar in the Copa del Rey. When Atleti opened up a 1-0 lead early in the second half, slacked off, Eibar got back into the tie. And this has happened in the Copa, it's happened in La Liga. And it's just been very disconcerting to see the lack of intensity and the lack of the inability to lock a game down, I guess is a good way of putting it. which Atleti were so often able to do without much trouble in the past. Now they're finding it very, very difficult. They didn't really get a chance to do that in this game, though, because Barcelona started out so quickly. Luis Suarez scored just an outstanding goal. Really came out of nothing. How surprised were you at that fast start?
Well, you know, it's with the Suarez, it's just, you never know what to expect, because it's sometimes he messes up like really simple chances, or he really miscontrols simple passes, and it's so frustrating. And then he does things that are just ridiculous and of the absolute top level. So it's like expect the unexpected with him, because it's like, in a way, you can't be surprised, because he's so good and he does so many amazing things. But he also, he's like weirdly frustrating sometimes. He'll miss really easy chances. So that's kind of what we've been seeing this season. I mean, obviously he's an amazing player and he's scored a ton of goals too.
And this was one of his more spectacular goals, I think. It started with a Mascherano tackle. I took it off Griezmann, I think, just behind the halfway line. Suarez picks it up and races past everybody, including Stefan Savic, who was just completely fooled. He just completely took Savic out of the play. He gets into a 1v1 with Moya, and just the softest touch on this right-footed finish. Moya just could not react. Couldn't get there in time.
And it starts with a Mascherano tackle, which is an interesting thing, because he's playing defensive midfield in place of Busquets, which, as you know, is not the regular setup. Busquets is injured, and there's a chance that he will play in the second leg, but I don't think it's anything close to certain at this point.
Yeah, no Sergio Busquets, no Andres Iniesta in this game either. What did you make of Luis Enrique's starting 11, and what did you make of the midfield? It looked to me a little unbalanced, but it worked out.
Well, and Iniesta, by the way, is back in training, so he will probably play at least some part of the second leg. Mm-hmm. But I think given the injuries, he pretty much picked the best midfield you could pick, and it did work well. The issue that Barcelona actually had was the substitutions, which happened about, I think it was a 57th minute.
Right before Griezmann scored, Denis Suarez came on, yeah.
Yeah, and that was, I think it was 2 minutes later, it was that Atletico scored. And that was kind of the beginning of their dominance, and when Barcelona kind of lost control of the game. And I think it had a lot to do with Rakitic subbing out. And Denis Suarez is a good player, but I don't think he gives you any kind of the same amount of defensive stability that Rakitic gives you. And it was clearly, I think, about a rotation, you know, preserving people's fitness levels, that kind of thing. But they really lost control of the right side, especially because, you know, as you know, Messi doesn't defend so much.
Right.
So you really lost control of the right side, which is Atletico's left, which is where a lot of those chances started from. And the second substitution is Rafinha came on, and actually I think he did a good job. And Barcelona got a little bit of that control back, but it wasn't anywhere near what it was in the first half.
Yeah, the Rakitic substitution, part of it may have been a rotation, as you said. It really did unbalance Barcelona a bit, because Felipe Luis instantly came into the game. He had been really quiet for about an hour, and then he instantly came in and created a ton of chances, some very, very good chances and very close chances that on another day Atleti might have finished.
Yeah, I was also almost expecting them to score one. It was a big relief, I think, for Barcelona to finish that game 2-1, because there were so many chances, and like I said, it was a complete lack of control, inability to bring the ball out from defense into midfield, and it was that press from Atletico was very good, and it's been a recurring problem this season for Barcelona, teams that press them high, and I think it's a worrying sign going into the Champions League against PSG and whoever they may end up drawing. If they do indeed advance, teams that can press them high, it's going to be a real problem.
Yeah, and this was really for the first time in a while Ed Leddy had been pressing up like that. And Ed Leddy's backs were totally to the wall, down 2-0 at halftime, because Lionel Messi came out of nowhere to hit this rocket of a goal after about half an hour. That goal just came out of nothing. Ed Leddy were working themselves into the game. The response after the Suarez goal was good. Weren't particularly dangerous, but Atletico had a lot of the ball. They were working their way into the game. And then here's Messi to just kind of extinguish that. Don't expect a goal from him.
It was an unexpected, actually, type of way he scores. I mean, the fact that he scores is not unexpected. But
no.
His shooting usually has a lot more placement. I think that one was a very, very much about the power. Obviously it was placed well, but it was an uncharacteristic type of shot, but it was a ridiculous shot too. I mean, the two goals come from a lot of individual brilliance, which is part of a debate that we've been having is, you know, how much can this team rely on those kind of moments of individual brilliance versus a system, you know, that produces things regularly versus just the individual brilliance of the players themselves. I mean, and as far as that goes, I think, you know, while you say it's not necessarily sustainable that they're going to get two goals like this every match, I think given the level of the forwards, it's something you can count on to a large extent. So we'll see, I mean, how far that goes.
I'm of the thinking that it doesn't really matter what system, how direct Barcelona play. You can always count on this happening every game or two. You can always count on one of these players, Messi, Suarez, Neymar, just doing something spectacular like this. Do you think that this Barcelona is more Messi dependent than ever? I mean, you couldn't really see it in this game because Barcelona just steamrolled Atletico in the first half. But over the course of this season, with the kind of new tactical wrinkles that Luis Enrique has instituted, do you think it's inadvertently led to more Messi dependencia than ever?
I don't think than ever. I think, what year was it? I think it was 2012 when Messi scored like 91 goals and some other crazy number of assists. I think that was kind of the high water mark for Messi dependencia, and I don't think you'll ever really... Yeah, I don't think you'll ever get to that stage. I mean, with that said, I think the team has suffered a lot from the fact that Neymar is not scoring as he usually, or at least as he was doing last season. I think he's doing pretty well overall, but his finishing has just been completely off, given his high standard, and I think that's been a problem. I think the lack of Iniesta because of injuries has made Messi be a part more of the midfield than we've been used to, which means basically the creation of chances falls on him a lot more. And then if we don't have Neymar scoring those chances, then, you know, the scoring of chances also falls on him. Mm-hmm. So that's also a problem. I think if, like I said, with Suarez, we've had kind of hot and cold, good games, bad games, or even, you know, good few moments, good, bad moments, and I'm sorry, a few bad moments, a few good moments in the same game. And whether Neymar starts scoring again, that's going to be a big reason whether we have this Messi dependency or we don't have it going forward.
Neymar's also played a bit deeper this season. He's played kind of a deeper role, a little closer toward midfield, which isn't really conducive to him scoring a bunch of goals. I mean, he recently just ended that 1,000-plus-minute goal drought in the league, which was stunning to see that he had gone that long without a goal, such a talented player. And kind of that same criticism has fallen on Griezmann a bit, because both players recently had very long goal droughts, but both did a lot more than just, you know, score goals. Obviously, Griezmann's role is a little bit different than Neymar's role, because Griezmann is asked to do everything. But Neymar tracks back, Neymar runs hard, Neymar... Works really hard. I think he's becoming a better defensive player as well, since he's playing a little bit deeper on that left hand side. And Griezmann is always one to track back and give that extra effort, and always one to be starting counters from very deep inside Atletico territory.
Yeah, and another thing Neymar does is create chances, make assists, and even I think more than, I might be wrong about this, but I think more than any other player in Spain, he wins penalties, like, a lot. Because of the way he dribbles, because he goes at people. And I think it's kind of a high-risk, high-reward thing when he takes people on and he takes chances. He's going to lose the ball a lot, but he also creates, you know, creates scoring opportunities and creates penalties. So
penalties, free kicks, he gets fouled so much that he can create set piece chances.
That's true. And but the thing is that while I think in a lot of facets he's doing very well, I think his finishing, there's no getting away from the fact that it's just not been as good as we've been used to. And I think it's, I don't know if it's a problem with confidence or something like that, but it's something that needs to be sorted out. If we're looking at a Champions League push, I mean, I don't even know if a league push is really that feasible by this point, but certainly a Champions League run.
Yeah, and he's going to be very important as the season goes on. He didn't score in this game, but he didn't have very many problems with Jaime Versalico and then Juanfran. Versalico had to get hauled off at halftime because he wasn't doing very well. That's just, Versalico's been a little bit uneven of late. This just is another game that shows that. Stefan Savic as well has been very uneven for about 3 months now. But unfortunately, Simeone doesn't really have any other options as Jose Jimenez is hurt. He doesn't seem to prefer Lucas Hernandez to Savic yet, which I'm going to be writing a column a bit later today about how that's the center back position next to Diego Godin is becoming a problem for Atletico. And you could certainly see that in the first half. Just Atleti were too open.
Yeah, and I think that, like I said, it's going to be a very difficult thing to cope with, or it has been a very difficult thing to cope with, no Iniesta, no Busquets for Luis Enrique. Although that's soon to change because they're both going to be due back pretty soon.
Yeah, and Atleti had a big chance in this game. Lots of play through the midfield. Gabi and Koke in particular, was very active. Created a lot of chances. And Atletico definitely missed an opportunity here because Barcelona's midfield is going to be healthier next week, and it's going to make the challenge of getting back into this tie even tougher. And they just paid for not being clinical. Barcelona scored two goals out of relatively nothing, and Atleti paid for not finishing chances off and not taking them in the first half, not finishing them off in the second.
Yeah, and I think there is some credit to be given to Cillessen's save.
Yeah, Cillessen was really good.
Yeah, there was a chance that I think it was Felipe Luis started. It was a cutback that I think Griezmann got to, but it was like point blank range, but it was saved.
This was right after Griezmann scored. About 2 minutes after he scored, Atleti were on top.
Right.
Koke fed Felipe to his left. Felipe crossed, and then Griezmann cut back from about a yard out, fired it right at Cillessen. He just made a reaction save. It was a brilliant save, and probably the best chance Atletico were going to get, and they just couldn't score it.
Yeah, and it would have been a real turning point, I think, in the entire tie if you go from 2-0 down to 2-2 in 2 minutes. But and then there was also another time. When I think it was Mascherano when it was stolen from him near the box, and there was kind of a mad scramble for the ball, and it ended on a Torres shot going wide. I think it was Denis Suarez actually put him off just a little bit, and it helped. It hurt Torres's ability to shoot, and it went just wide. And there was another chance. I'm trying to remember who had it. You might be able to remember where Jordi Alba made kind of a last minute block that prevented what would have been a sure goal.
Yeah, I can't recall that off the top of my head. That was toward the very end of the game, though, I think.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, there are actually so many of these that it's hard to keep track.
Like, you had Griezmann getting a few really good chances. Fernando Torres had a couple good chances, which is rare these days. Gabi had chances. You know, Felipe was in the middle of all this. Yannick Carrasco just missed an overhead kick About less than 10 minutes after Griezmann scored, Kevin Gamero missed a chance. And there were just so many opportunities, just wave after wave. This was the best Atletico have played against Barcelona in a while, and it still wasn't enough.
Yeah, I don't know what it is about Torres, but he's always seems to always like take it up a level against Barcelona.
He's the Barca killer, yes, he is.
I'm not surprised that this is his best match in a while, given the circumstance.
Yeah, and he came on and facilitated a pretty big change in energy. Atleti switched to a 4-3-3 after Torres came on, and the 4-3-3 experiment under Simeone has been really hit and miss. It was abandoned pretty early last season and pretty early this season, despite having, I think, more suitable personnel for it. But it worked in this game. Torres coming on really facilitated this, and it worked because Atleti got one goal, unfortunately could not get that second. And maybe this is something that we're going to see more often now against the bigger teams when Atleti need a goal or are at home and are feeling up enough and comfortable enough to go get one. This is, I think, a new alignment for Atletico. So maybe this is something that Simeone found in this game that is encouraging.
Yeah, and I think Simeone has been trying to get them to evolve a little bit from the more defensive to a more proactive team, but it's almost never really came off. Like, they were on their way, but it never really came off, so then they kind of stop and they go back to basics.
Yep.
And I think it's kind of like they're almost, maybe they're a little bit looking for their identity still at this stage of this season.
And this was a team that you knew what their identity was, Cholismo. You knew exactly what it was. You knew exactly what they were about. Really, since about the Madrid derby, this team has just been in I don't want to say a free fall, but this team has just been soul-searching ever since Real Madrid came into the Calderon and whipped them 3-0 back in mid-November. And that really led Simeone to shut up shop, go back to basics. It's been very, very deliberate getting back to a more open style since then. I mean, Koke is playing in the middle again. He's playing in central midfield again, which is good because that's his best position. That's where he's most influential in build-up play. But I'd like to hear still conceding goals, still conceding too many goals. It's got to be frustrating and to have a team with such a great identity try to bolster that identity, refine it, but then it just all goes wrong. It's been frustrating to watch, for sure.
Now, what I will say about this second leg is Barcelona have to play Athletic Club in between these two games. And on the other hand, Atletico, I think, play Leganés. I don't know how you see it, but I think it's on paper, it seems like playing Leganés in between these two games is more comfortable. And I don't know if that gives you some edge in the second leg.
I'm not sure how much Cholo is going to rotate at the weekend. Probably a fair bit, or at least he'll play some guys for an hour and then take them off. He's still going to believe, Simeone and his players are still going to believe that they can turn this around. It will take quite the result, but they believe that they can do it, and technically they can, despite the two away goals. But yeah, Leganés, I think, is a more preferable opponent than Athletic. Atletico just got done playing them and almost didn't win that game. Very nearly came out of that without any points. So good luck.
Yeah, and it's almost like we've gotten into the last chance saloon here, because I think one more week of losing points puts you pretty far down in terms of chances of retaining the league title. Considering the league, the difference in points we have currently, I mean, I don't think Barcelona can afford to slip up even a little bit further. So I think this is a must-win against Athletic Club. So that's kind of on the mind, especially since after playing Atletico second leg, it's an away to Alaves and then PSG in the Champions League. So there's not a lot of room for error.
Yeah, Alaves, yeah, they just got done tearing Atletico apart last week. So yeah, you'll love playing them again. They already beat you this season, so you'll love playing them again.
That's right,
at their building. Yeah,
Yeah.
One thing I think Atletico are going to do this weekend is play Angel Correa. Now, Correa didn't play on Wednesday. He did pick up a bit of a knock against Alaves, but he was in the squad. He was on the bench. It was very, very strange that Correa didn't play because, as you know, he scored the equalizer at Barcelona earlier this season. He didn't get on the pitch at all. Gamero was chosen instead of him.
Yeah. I guess that maybe that was some sort of relief. I remember that game. It actually seemed kind of similar in terms of Barcelona getting an early lead and then losing the grip of the game. But the difference there is they scored two in the first half instead of one, which they scored only one, and it ended at 1-1 in that first game.
Yeah, it was very strange, and I at this point absolutely prefer Correa to Kevin Gamero, who has one goal in his last 12 now and had really only one decent chance in the 20 minutes he played. So yeah, this is another problem. It's now an annual problem. Who is going to partner Antoine Griezmann up top? It was Carrasco to start this game. Carrasco is pretty good, but he's not a natural forward. He's a natural winger. So who is going to partner with Griezmann up top? This is now ever since Costa left, this has been the big question, and we are getting no closer to answering it this season because Gamero has been so inconsistent.
And you know what's kind of interesting about that is Barcelona were the original suitors for Gamero.
Yes, they were.
And it was kind of, I think that it's fair to use the term hijacked. The Atletico hijacked it kind of the last minute, and Barcelona got Paco Alcácer instead, but who hasn't scored, famously hasn't scored much for Barcelona. But it seems like
that is
if
a good
they
point.
Had gotten Gamero, it wouldn't have ended very well either.
Yeah, that is a good point. You want to trade?
I don't know about that. I will say Paco Alcácer is, I think, much younger, right?
Yeah, so, he's like 8 years younger.
There's a lot of chance. There's every chance for him to shape up in the coming seasons. I mean, I'm not sure how much patience they're going to have with him. But to be fair, he hasn't played that much this year. He's mainly played sort of garbage time and with the second stringers. So it's kind of a different than playing with the first stringers and playing a lot. But he's really struggled, I mean, in different facets, and it's not just scoring. I think for the majority of his early appearances, he looked completely lost, and he's looked a little better since, and he's managed to finally score, but I don't think Luis Enrique anywhere close to trusts him in any kind of big game. I think that if anyone gets from the front three gets subbed out, we're going to see Arda Turan or Rafinha or someone like that come in as a winger rather than a replacement for a striker and bring in Alcacer.
Yeah, that's interesting because a lot was made of this youth movement at Barcelona over the summer. A lot of players 22 or younger came in. And how has that gone off in your mind? Because it doesn't seem like it's had roaring success over here.
No, definitely not roaring success. And I think it's just like a case-by-case basis. I think Umtiti has done very well. I mean, he started this game we just played, and I think he's definitely been the best signing of the lot. And there's a chance he could really take Mascherano's spot in defense. Now, after that, it's more of a mixed bag. I think Denis Suarez is finally kind of finding his spot. Like I said, he didn't do so well in this last game. But before that, he scored, I think, was it 3 goals in 2 days? Something like that.
Yeah.
He was doing very well, and he's kind of adapting. Then Andre Gomes, I don't know. I think he's like almost the most divisive player that Barcelona has. And
he doesn't strike me as a Barcelona-type midfielder. He just doesn't. He doesn't fit the profile.
No, I think he tends to do well when he's in more space than he gets afforded in this team.
Mm-hmm.
I think he has some potential. I'm not entirely convinced by him at all. And Lucas Digne was signed as left back as a backup to Alba. I think he's done okay. I mean, he was signed just to be a backup, and to that extent, he's done fair enough. And the last one is Alcacer, and I think he's improved a little bit, but it's starting from a really bad position in terms of his play. It was just he looked lost, and I think it is fair to say that to some extent it's true that Barcelona played a very unique game that's hard to adapt to if you're not used to it. So, you know, we could be saying in a year or two they just needed a year to adapt and now they're great. And we have kind of seen that in Arda Turan, who was signed from Atletico, which is a completely different style of play. And in the first half season, because he didn't play the first half of his first season.
Yeah, because of the ban. Of the
registration/transfer ban. But in his second half of his first season, he wasn't really adapting well. But then this season, in his second season, he's done a lot better. And I think that there's every chance that one of these players we're saying right now, you know, isn't fitting in, that he will eventually fit in. But there's also no guarantee of that. It may be the case that they just never fit in, and it's just, you know, it just turns out to be kind of a bust. So the jury's still out, especially because we're talking about young players. But, you know, there are a lot of signs that are not entirely encouraging, I think it's fair to say.
This is kind of a phenomenon that Atletico have gone through the last couple of seasons. Cholismo is obviously a very, very different style of play than what Barcelona espoused, but it's a very, very difficult style to adapt to. It took Antoine Griezmann 6 months to adapt to it, and ever since then, he's been one of the best players in Europe. And some other players just didn't adapt to it. A lot of noise was made after Atletico signed Jackson Martinez last summer, Luciano Vietto last summer. Both those players were gone within the season. Nico Gaetan has had struggles adapting to this style, and Gaetan is a very technically gifted, talented player. It's a very difficult team to break into and a very difficult style of play to pick up on. And you have to be with the team for a while and have quite a bit of run in the team to get it. I think from that standpoint, it's a kind of similar situation.
Yeah, I think that sounds very familiar, actually. Yeah,
you would know. And Vietto, I think, was Barcelona's first choice this summer before he chose Sevilla for the playing time. And then you guys went after Gamero and let us pay $40 million for him instead. And then you signed Alcacer. So,
yeah,
interesting how that worked out.
It was a moment where, I don't know if you would call it like a panic buy, but I think their options, their list was one Vietto to Gamero, and then both of them went kind of at the it was at the same time, right?
Yeah, part of the same transaction. Yeah, Vietto went on
right, so they
Sevilla.
So they were both taken away as options, and I think Alcacer, I think, was kind of their backup plan. So I don't know, we'll see how that shakes up. I still think is not entirely the right fit, is not what I would think of as the right fit for the team. But like I said, I'm reluctant to write someone off when they still have a chance. I think, you know, you still have a chance. You're still young. It's still your first season. But, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, and Paco is still so young that he can certainly still make it a career for himself at Barcelona or anywhere else, really. He's talented. A bit up and down, but he's talented and he's really young. Whereas Gamero is 29 and in another scoring drought, and I'm getting tired of him. So you guys have Athletic this weekend. That's at San Mamés, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so have fun with that. We have Leganés at home. Hopefully it will be a win to help get us back on track, because Atletico's mission is now the top four, finishing fourth. I think the top three is no longer really viable. So it's all about fourth place for Atleti now. And I think Barcelona are still the toughest or the top contenders to win La Liga, not named Real Madrid. But can't really afford any more slip ups from here. And this is a tough game to avoid a slip up in.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things where if you keep slipping up, you'll be in such a disadvantaged position that you almost start to think about, okay, how do we rotate in these games and focus on the cup and focus on the Champions League? I mean, I don't know if it's still too early to go that route, but it certainly will become an option, you know, if current trends hold for a few more weeks.
Yeah, would you almost prefer to just, you know, rip the Band-Aid off and be out of the league race in a couple weeks? Would you almost prefer it?
I think almost prefer it might be the right terminology. Mm-hmm. I don't think anyone wants to let this go as long as there's still a chance. But, I mean, definitely if you look at it from a sort of pragmatic point of view, it's better to know now, you know, it's not going to happen than to spend all your resources on a thing that eventually doesn't come to fruition. But, you know, I think as long as it's still a possibility, you know, I expect them to go full tilt.
Yeah, I think the earlier you know, the better. The earlier you know you're not going to win the treble, the better you can focus on other winnable competitions. Atleti were out of the title race for all, you know, purposes after the Madrid derby loss. And I think you've kind of seen that in – it's been reflected in the team's play, especially in La Liga, which has been very, very hit and miss, very inconsistent. Even from not only from game to game, but from half to half, it's been so wildly different how Atletico approached La Liga. But as long as it's enough to get fourth, I don't think anyone's really going to mind. As long as it's enough to get fourth and put a trophy on top of it, like the Copa or the Champions League, then it'll be a great season. But that is in the far future. You looking forward to the PSG tie? Another one?
Well, you know, Champions League is always exciting, but I think the another one thing is correct. I mean, we're kind of Groundhog's Day here, playing PSG. I mean, I don't remember how many times it's been in the however many years, but it's been a lot over the last few years.
Yeah.
And, you know, just for variety, I'd like to see not have to play PSG or Celtic or Arsenal, which is like we get them every year.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
But, you know, it definitely there's an attraction to the Champions League, whoever you play. So it is something that you look forward to.
Yeah, and Atletico have Bayer Leverkusen again. And some big news broke on that front today. Hakan Çalhanoğlu has been suspended for the rest of the season.
Oh, I did not hear about that.
Yeah, FIFA suspended him for the rest of the year. I haven't read all the specifics. Apparently, it's relating to an incident with a former club, like several years ago. I'll need to read more on it. But I just saw the headline. FIFA suspended him for the rest of the season. So that's pretty big news. He's like their best player.
Yeah, and actually PSG are not doing so well in the French league, considering, you know, how well-funded they are. I think they just recently had a draw with Monaco.
At the very end of that game,
you know, they're so used to winning the league by like 50 points or whatever, and now they're actually in a real struggle, and there's every chance that they won't win it. So I'm not sure how exactly that affects the Champions League. I don't know if that means they can, you know, they're kind of saving themselves for the Champions League, or if it means they're in a crisis and they're not going to do so well. I don't really know.
Yeah, that remains to be seen. The wait for this thing to come back is just like interminable. You know, I'm like really excited for it to come back, and it's still weeks away.
Yeah, kind of an interesting happens too with the cup is you play the semifinals and then you have to wait a long time for the final. And you're like, all right, there's a final still.
Well, Celta and Alaves, that game will have been wrapped up by the time this comes out, but that should be a cracker. That other Copa semifinal tie, obviously overlooked because of Atletico and Barcelona, but either of those teams I think would be a worthy finalist. Both, especially Alaves having a great season.
Yeah, and actually Celta have caused a fair bit of problems for Barcelona over the past few seasons.
Yes, they have. Lots of goals.
So either one will be an interesting opponent.
Yeah. What else we got, Luis? Anything else?
No, I think that's all.
Oh, great. Well, I'd like to thank my guest, Luis Mazariegos. Thanks so much for coming on, man.
Thank you so much. And good luck for the next game, but not so much good luck for the next game.
Understood. You can follow Luis on Twitter at LuisM8989. You can follow me at JBBaron, JBBERen. Follow Into the Calderon on Twitter at Into the Calderon. Like us on Facebook as well. And you can subscribe, listen to all new and archived episodes of Colchonero Chat on iTunes, Stitcher, Acast, Google Play, and TuneIn. We're on all those platforms, so find us there, leave a rating and a review on iTunes, and thus concludes the sign-off message. So, adios, we'll catch you next time.